We are going to be without a microphone this morning, so I'll do my best to project. The text for meditation is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verse 15. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, redeemed through the merits of Jesus Christ and by the grace of God. Wherever Jesus was, those that sought forgiveness and healing, they came to him. He always welcomed them with love and mercy and open arms. And though the chief priests and the scribes couldn't accuse him falsely on this particular day for healing people on the Sabbath, because it was Monday, they did get extremely angry over the mini repeat of what they had just heard on Palm Sunday. Our text says that they were indignant. The children in the temple were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It was a bit more than they could handle. But Jesus always had a way with these guys. Can you imagine the look on their face as they asked him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" The meaning in what they asked was this: aren't you going to do something about the fact that they are calling you God? And to the very men that would claim to know Scripture backwards and forwards, he simply replies, "Yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." How they must have seethed in their hatred for him. Which brings us to today, Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus had walked back and forth from Bethany to Jerusalem both of the last two nights. And once again, when he came back to the city, he went into the temple to teach the people while there was still time for him to do so. On this day, the chief priests and elders, they wasted no time in confronting him. And be sure of this, their question to him, which was, "By what authority are you doing these things? And also, who gave you this authority?" They weren't really seeking an actual answer. They already knew the answer. They were merely looking to set a trap for Jesus once again. They knew that Jesus' authority came from God. Or at minimum, they knew that Jesus wouldn't deny that his authority came from God. It was just yesterday that he accepted the children's praise as they declared him the Messiah in that very spot. Which is why Jesus chose to put them on the defensive again. These men, they couldn't hold a candle to Christ in a theological discussion. And if you're wondering what that means, the saying goes back to before there was electricity. At that time, apprentices, they would hold a candle for a skilled craftsman. If someone couldn't hold a candle to another person, it meant they weren't even qualified to be their assistant. These men were supposed to be experts in Scripture, but yet they denied every word of it in unbelief by rejecting Jesus. It's because of these men and others like them that Jesus wept over the city. He came to them just like the Baptist before him, preaching repentance and peace and teaching that it came through him. Jesus, in turn, showed them many signs and wonders, so many so that they all knew he was from God, but yet in their hardness of heart, they didn't know what was right there in front of them. These men, they didn't like what they were hearing. And they didn't like what Jesus and those who believed in him were saying. Why? In one word, pride. It was because they did not have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Although Jesus was God, he did not consider his being equal with God as a prize to be displayed. But he emptied himself, made himself a slave, became like other human beings, And when he appeared in the form of a man, he became obedient and humbled himself, even to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. It's because of this reality, the reality that these men, and yes, sometimes us too, we fail to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. In fact, it burns us sometimes when we're confronted with our sin. Because sometimes we want to be equal with God. It doesn't really matter what the particular sin is. We all have our struggles. It just matters that that sin is dear to us. That's what makes it burn the most. When some sin that we've grown to love is pointed out as wrong. For the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, it was their religious and political positions. And they perceived Jesus as a threat to these positions. And we can be tempted to perceive Jesus as a threat too. But it's indirect. Because our fault is often realized through one of our Christian brothers or sisters when they point out to us that our sin is contrary to what Jesus teaches, especially when we don't want to let that sin go. But it ought to be the opposite, right? Jesus isn't the threat. Our fellow Christians, they aren't the threat. It's our sin that is the threat. Just as Jesus himself continually called upon sinners to repent and believe during his ministry, he enables and expects us to do the same, to be many Christs for each other. He wants us to exercise the same loving care that he did, even today. Imagine the potential increase in worthwhile, loving admonition there might be among us if we weren't afraid of our brother and sister's reaction. Our brethren calling us to repentance, that gift isn't a threat. It's a good work out of Christian love. Our weakness is our sin, and our sin is going to be with us on this earth. Our sin is what caused the need for a Savior in the first place. But God's love and his amazing grace offered through his perfect Son, that's the only solution. And that is our strength. God offers us Jesus' perfect life in exchange for our ugly sin, every bit of it. It's a free gift of God through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So when the temptation to react bitterly or angrily when rebuked by a fellow believer, if that temptation is aroused in you, as I know it has been in me in my life, watch and pray lest ye fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When the Holy Spirit sends us an SOS, a literal distress call that our faith life is in peril, when he, in agape love, that's Christian love, shows us our sins so that we can look to Jesus in repentance, don't get angry. Don't get bitter. Embrace the rebuke and praise God for it. Embrace it with a loud Hosanna, just as those children in the temple did. Sing it in your heart, Hosanna to the Son of David. Say, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord, for I am a wretched sinner. Hosanna in Hebrew means, save, we pray you. Help us, O Lord. And he will, because he already has. Jesus, our King, says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey at the beginning of the week, on a beast of burden, as it said. That lowly beast carried him. But he, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, he carried something much heavier. He carried the real beast. The real beast was the heavy burden that consisted of my sin, of your sin, and the sins of the whole world. He took on that beast willingly, and he slayed it completely. He slayed that beast on the cross. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. We continue with hymn 161. Hymn 161, Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
The Lord.